Let me ask you if you would to turn in your scriptures to 1 Timothy 6 tonight. 1 Timothy 6. And we're going to continue our series on the subject of Christian contentment. And our text will be verses 6 through 19. Not all those verses, but we'll at least read them through and focus on a certain number of them. I have mentioned to us before about one of the authors, one of the Puritan authors of a book on contentment, Jeremiah Burroughs. And the book's title is The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. And you can actually get there. They're no longer, you can get them accessed, but the publishing has expired. The copyright, they're in public domain. So $7. And this isn't the only book on contentment that Burroughs wrote. He wrote another one after just really a series of pretty amazing circumstances in his own life and ministry. And that's what ended up precipitating him to write the second book. And so I want to just share with you some of those circumstances from Burroughs' life just to kind of put some context to the conclusion that he drew after all of that that prompted the writing of the second book. So Burroughs was born in England in 1599. He completed an MA at Emmanuel College in Cambridge in 1625. And he ended up being forced to leave that university because he refused to conform with some of the unbiblical rituals and ceremonies and superstitions, really, that the Church of England had begun to require in connection with the college at that time. But that didn't stop him from entering the ministry. And at age 28, he was appointed, the title was, a lecturer at a church in Bury St. Edmunds. They have some strange names of towns and cities in England. That was in Suffolk, England. And functionally, he was like a pastor, but under the title of lecturer, he was free from some of the restrictions and expectations that were placed on ministers in the Church of England. It seemed like a good opportunity, but frankly, things didn't go well. And it wasn't long before Burroughs reported that I have been nearly 3.5 years with them with little success. And he described the people as having a strange disposition towards him. And when he spoke out against the sin of one of the town's local officials, the congregation seemed determined to get rid of him. So they cut his pay in half. I guess they gave him a pretty clear message of what their thoughts were, that they wanted him gone. So Burroughs subsequently accepted a position in a small country church in a village called Tivetshall. And when he went there initially, he was a little bit discouraged because he had a great vision to want to influence people in a broad setting for the cause of Christ, and that would be hard in a little country church like this. But nonetheless, things began going well. He started looking up. And he was able to secure some rotating lectureships also with other larger ministries. But then along came a new archbishop of the Church of England. And one of the edicts that the archbishop, you've got to understand, the Church of England was a state-sponsored church. So the archbishop was kind of a vassal of the king, if you will. And so the king, Charles I at the time, was concerned for the health, the physical health of the nation. And so he authorized a book called The King's Book of Sports. And it was a description of the various recreational activities that all the subjects of the realm were supposed to participate in on Sundays. And then the king had the archbishop put forth an edict to all of the churches in the Church of England that they were to read portions from the King's Book of Sports each Sunday and compel the people to follow those instructions. And so the sports included all kinds of things, the ones listed, leaping, vaulting, running, Morris dancing, maypole dancing, which best I can tell were some sort of energized forms of English folk dance. And, you know, back in those days, they didn't have television, they didn't have radio broadcasts, so the king just used the church because, frankly, everybody went to church. So they used the church as a way to get the word out there and get the edict out to the people. Now, the Puritans, as you might expect, weren't too keen on this. You know, the Puritans held strong convictions regarding what they would consider the Christian Sabbath, you know, the holiness of the Lord's Day. And there was no way that men of conscience were going to use the pulpit to announce compulsory recreation on the Lord's Day. So Burroughs and other nonconformists, as they came to be called, like him, ignored the requirement to read from the King's Book of Sports. Of course, you don't ignore the King's edict without consequences. And so the Archbishop began going after the nonconformists, and they sent out questionnaires, and they polled the people and said, does your minister do this, and does he do this, and does he do this, and does he read from the King's Book of Sports every Sunday, and does he do this, and this, and this? And so at the ripe old age of 36, Burroughs was suspended from ministry, and not long after that he was fired. And of course, in those days, if you were in the ministry, you lived in church-owned facilities, so he lost his income, lost his place of residence. In the providence of God, Burroughs was taken in